America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Tuesday morning, Will. Day two reaction to the now 6-2 Eagles. Talk about them a lot today. Nick Sirianni a lot, because he's really been, I think, the focal point of discussion since that game ended. So we'll continue that. Sixers, they lose in Paul George's debut last night. Strange end. We'll address that. Jason Kelsey's comments at the start of Monday Night Football last night on ESPN. We'll get to that as well. Look, your phone calls and all of it, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, buddy.
The Guinness World Record for farting.
Okay.
Longest fart is 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
What?
By a guy named Mr. Charlie.
Mr. Charlie!
2 minutes and 58 seconds.
That stinks.
Hey! There you go. So, I mean, I guess anything's possible.
Wait,
seems
so, hold on. You say don't buy it. It's the Guinness Book of World Records, though. It's not like it's some dude who just said it. Like, they have processes for this.
The Guinness Book, it's official.
Yeah. Like that someone was there to witness it.
James, you buy it?
Yeah, honestly, it sounds ridiculous, but it's the Guinness Book of World Records. So yeah, I do. I buy it.
All right, so here's the thing I'm curious if people buy today. Two things. That Nick Sirianni's actually a pretty good coach and the town's too hard on him.
What a segue, by the way. That was pro stuff.
Thank you. Well, I try. So let me just set this up this way. And you know, we'll have Sirianni on the show in about 3 hours, and I'm sure we'll talk about him for the bulk of the program. And I'm really curious where you stand at 215-592-9494. I tend to think most people that call today will be very anti-Sirianni and think that he holds them back. And I can't tell you you're definitively wrong, but I can tell you I think you're wrong. So here's where I'm at. And this, to me, is like a referendum day on Sirianni. Like, this is a where we are on Sirianni day. Here's where I am. And again, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Obviously, his hand was all over the game the other day. Most people perceive in a bad way. In some ways, it was a bad way. But they also got a W. And, you know, it's a four-game winning streak. And I think that has been incredibly obscured as people have, you know, pointed out the negatives. So here's where I'm at. I think he's a pretty good coach. I do think the town is too hard on him. And I think there's this unbelievably critical nature going on, in part because of his antics. And it annoys us and has annoyed us. And so we're at that point as a fan base for many, I think, where we're in the nitpicking phase. Now, let me be clear. That's not to say that he does it all right, because he doesn't. That's not to say we weren't right to say that his antics are annoying, unprofessional, both on the sidelines and earlier in the year at the postgame stuff. Like, I'm with you on all that. Guys, I will be critical or unbelievably critical when I feel it is warranted. And I think there's stuff from Sunday that he did flat out wrong, and I told you that yesterday, and I'll repeat that again today. I mean, some of the decisions that he made, whether you call it two-point conversions, fourth down, field goal, punt, whatever, some I think he got wrong. Some I think he got right. Now, it was notable, if you missed it, he doubled down yesterday in the press conference and said all of the two-point conversions, the fourth downs, all of them, he thinks if you put him back in the same circumstance, he does them again. And I know a lot of you will disagree with that, and that's fine, and let's go. 215-592-9494.
That's a major problem. That, when given an opportunity to just reevaluate, just be realistic. Just no penalties here, although there's always penalties. We will hold it against you.
But here's the thing. I don't think anyone was so outlandish that there's no question you have to go the other way. Like, going for a 4th-and-3 isn't crazy talk. They scored a touchdown, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on a 4th-and-3, similar circumstance. I didn't like it, but it's not nuts. The 57-yard field goal is probably the second most out there one, but I mean, Jake Elliott does have a great leg. It's not inconceivable to go for that. Let me just put it this way. I think that praise and appreciation of Sirianni is much more warranted than it happens, and I'm going to tell you why. 6-2. Now, you can say that's Howie.
You know he's set up for success.
You can say that's Howie. Hold on.
As set up as you can be.
You know what? I don't agree with that. He is more set up than most people. There's no question about that. But I see 6-2. I see clear as day coaching adjustments post bye. They're running the ball a ton. I appreciate it. They recognize. Look, they should have seen it earlier. They didn't. Clear adjustment.
What about the fact they're running a ton, but then Lane Johnson says it's because he went in and told Nick Sirianni they needed to be running it a ton?
Well, maybe they coincided with both sides seeing it at the same time. Maybe Lane saw
Maybe Lane Johnson said he went in and told Nick Sirianni to run the ball.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's not Chip Kelly, not a horse's ass who won't listen to players.
Look, it's great. I'm just saying my biggest problem is that this is a guy who was brought in here to be a wunderkind offensive mind, you know, the new offensive coordinator who called the plays and did great things and expanded our minds, and then that
failed. Are you never going to move off that, John? Like,
no, but you know I count that against
him.
I don't know why people don't. It seems
like people do.
It seems like people forget that happened.
Nobody forgets that.
He still circles back around, and now I am very worried that his interaction in the offense is affecting it negatively now, even though we know that that's not supposed to be where he's, you know, strong suited,
right,
and pouring his energies right now.
And getting in the way. I know.
John,
let me ask you this question. John, I'm going to ask this to you, but I'm also asking it to everybody listening right now, and you can react to 215-592-9494. John Ritchie, where are you with Nick Sirianni? Is he a good NFL head coach?
The team is winning, and the players like Nick Sirianni. I'm trying to get there. You know my issues.
I do. We all do.
I hate that he had to give up the play calling. I hate that he still has a big hand in the play calling, though. I am suspicious that his influence brings the offense down. He's been unprofessional with crowds and opponents. Big Dom was looking for a kitty leash to keep track of him at points. You know, that was, it's hard to get around that. When I compare it to a guy like Andy Reid, that's my, you know, baseline. I just can't, this is such a far cry from that. But I know that times are different and times are changing. I know that the guys love him, and that does matter a lot. He's doing a lot that's working. Now, Howie has given Nick fantastic talent, but we hear things trickling out of NovaCare that are exceedingly positive about Nick Sirianni's coaching. Like Jason Kelsey, who, you know, I admire a lot. I cry about him. Jason Kelsey says Nick Sirianni's the best in-meeting coach he's ever been around. The guy who holds the guy's interest, the guy who brings it the most. And that's incredible. That, just hearing that, it's a strange concept. But, man, those are tough. The meetings are tough, but they matter. people usually hate those meetings. If Nick brings some juice to meetings, like, that really does matter. That makes a difference. That can make a team better. And I do respect that part. And I respect who it's coming from. So, you know, the best in-meeting coach he's ever been around. And think of all the coaches Jason Kelsey's been around.
Of course.
And think about the fact, think of another guy that we all trust, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz told us the details of the way Nick details the meetings. I had never heard anything like that. He puts the numbers on the screen for every play at practice. They rewatch it as a group. And if you somehow missed your assignment, your number's up there. It might be your name if you're a coach. If you poorly coached that play. It's this new level of accountability that I really think is, it's nice. It's good. It should pay dividends. I admire that part of Nick's approach. There are a lot of things about Nick that I do admire, like his teaching methodology. I do think that's good.
John, you know what? Can I
like that thing about the perfume recently,
I
where
like
he's talking
too.
About, you know, smell it. Don't drink it. Whatever you don't.
So you're saying messaging.
It. Yeah,
but you know what? John,
I think he's got some.
Let me tell you what you are. And I'm guessing not everybody. I'm guessing a lot of people are to an extent, but with most people leaning out than in on Nick. I think a lot of people are conflicted. John, what you
I'm
just
officially conflicted
your whole
on
last,
Nick.
There's
conflicted
no question.
On
James.
Nick.
But, is Nick serious?
How about this, though? What? Do you actually believe he's one of the 32 best coaches in the world?
Probably, yeah. I mean, yeah, look, Jimmy Johnson.
I would say without a doubt.
Jimmy
he is.
Johnson's probably 75 and not eligible because he's not trying to be a coach. James Seltzer, is Nick Sirianni a good NFL head coach?
Yeah. He is. I mean, the guy wins. He just wins consistently. And I know it's a player's thing and all that. But we've seen that time after time when there are issues with the team in season, he's really good at correcting them. I mean, all the way back to his first season.
Other than the end of last year.
Which
is a big other than.
But it is. But that whole thing, there's a lot of things that were out of his control. They changed coordinators on him. They weren't even good coordinators to begin with. They were like, the Super Bowl happened. We had the choice at the end. Like, who can we get? Like, I don't blame him for last season as much as other people do. Even season one, remember year one to six games in, worst penalties in the history of the sport. They cleaned it up. I've been impressed with the way this guy has been able to adjust on the moment. I think he's a good NFL. He's 40-19. He's a good NFL coach.
All right. I am fascinated today. It's basically the halfway point of the season. It's eight games in. Obviously, it's a 17-game schedule now. It feels like every 2 to 3 weeks we have yet another show on a referendum on Sirianni. Here we are again. Where are you? They're 6-2. I get the impression most of the town is very down on him. My sister texted me right after the game on Sunday and said she thought it was the worst coach game she'd ever seen by Sirianni.
Your sister is correct.
And listen, a lot of people feel the way you do, Ray. I get it. I also know this. They showed up. They were up 22-0. The other team got handed 7 points. The other team's not good, but the Eagles still won, and they're 6-2, and they're headed to the playoffs. I can't say it like definitively, but I'm pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs for the fourth straight year, and that's 4 years with Nick Sirianni. I know he's got a roster with an advantage with Howie. There's no question. Better to have Howie than Joe Shane, no doubt. But I'm telling you, I'm going on the record today to tell you, I believe Sirianni's a good coach. I do. I don't discard what happened at the end of last year. I think it was a disgrace. I think he had a major hand in it. But I'm also not going to judge his totality on a 7-game stretch. As James just pointed out, through 3.5 years, the record is phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. Is he a good NFL head coach? You tell us.
Look, one of the things as a talk show host I'll say is that I accept the reality. I know there are times people are going to think I'm just flat out crazy and wrong. And I'll acknowledge, maybe I am. I mean, even if I'm right about this one, maybe I am crazy. But I think Sirianni's a lot better than the town thinks, and I think the town's too hard on him. I mean, 4-game winning streak, and yes, you got to take it with a bit of a grain of salt because of who they played at least in 3 of the 4 games. I mean, I think they played 3 of the 5 worst teams in football in the last 4 weeks. But it's still a 4-game winning streak.
And good teams lose to bad teams all the time in the NFL.
Happens all the time.
And also
Buddy
the
Ryan used to do it all the time.
And also the talent thing. Like, yes, maybe like a team like the Jets aren't as talented as the Eagles, but they have a ton of talent.
No,
Robert Saleh just got fired because he couldn't get it going. Like, I do think we also, to your point, not like we say, oh, talent, he's got talent as like this catch-all. But you still have to win with talent. Like, not everyone wins when they have talent.
Look, you guys know I don't even think the quarterback's that good, although he's playing better lately. I think Sirianni is dragged through the mud too much around here.
But what if we lose to the Jaguars?
I'll be in a bad mood. Oh, if they had lost?
Sure.
Well, that would have been bad.
Okay, I know, but if we
You like to throw out hypotheticals all the time, Joe, so he's thrown out a hypothetical.
No, I get it. But I can't obscure the 7 points the other team got handed.
Would be... My feelings today might be, why do we have this guy as our coach? Why this guy is absolutely not one of the top 32. Why is he the coach in Philadelphia? I believe you put other people in this spot, they could do a better job.
Okay.
Well, we get myopic, too. Like, there are bad coaches on other teams. Like, do you see the Bears each week? Like, Matt Eberflus is 1,000 times worse head coach than Nick Sirianni. Like, 1,000 times.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. It's one of those referendum days. In this case, on Sirianni. Where you at? Mike in Douglasville kicks us off. Good morning, Mike.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing good,
doing
buddy.
Well, Mike.
By the way, it looks like the end of the world out there right now.
It's like the first time it's rained in like a year here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't know where everyone is, what it is, but it's fog, it's rain, it's weird.
Complete fog, darkness. Yeah. It looks like it's an evocative, like Joe looks like he has the city of Paris behind him with the fog and the lights.
Really. I like that.
It's so beautiful, but then it's like, then there's Joe in the forest.
you think of Joe. You think of the city of love, the city of lights.
Exactly what I think.
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right, Mike, what do you got on Sirianni?
So I purposely do not call in on Mondays for two reasons. One, it is way too hard to get through. And two, my emotions are way too over the place, or all over the place with this team. On Sundays, if you can't tell, I kind of lost my voice because I was literally yelling at my TV in frustration. I honestly thought going into that final drive that they were going to score and we were going to have some miraculous comeback. And before I saw a comeback, I saw Jalen Hurts throwing an interception or something. So I've said it last week that I need a convincing win against the Jaguars and I need to go into Dallas and I need to just stomp them because they're a bad team right now. I left that game feeling more positive about Jalen Hurts, and as I wake up this morning, I feel more positive about Jalen Hurts than I did, you know, most of these weeks.
No, I agree with that for sure. Yeah.
But when it comes to Sirianni, I agree he is a good motivator. I believe the person that we see go to press conferences and everything like that is a completely different person than what these players see. So behind closed doors, he is probably a phenomenal coach. What I struggle with is the common sense place. You know, in my mind, maybe I'm an old school guy with a, you know, in a young body or whatever. I never take points off the board. I understand.
Never meaning never. Or never meaning sometimes. I'm serious.
Okay. No, it's a good question because if you get a new first down, if you get a field goal and there's a offsides and you get a chance at a new set of downs, you take the new set of downs, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No.
Okay, so never meaning sometimes. Okay.
Yeah, let me clarify that. My bad. In certain situations, like if you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl and you get the opportunity to get 2 points versus one, you should probably go for the 2 points.
That's reasonable. I get your point. A couple of people made that point yesterday, Mike. I think it's a good one. Feel the game and who you're playing a little bit
that's
more.
That's the issue, Joe.
I agree.
Situationally, sometimes I think he makes really poor decisions.
No, I agree with that. Mike, I think you laid it out well. Ree, I think you laid it out well. I agree. Ree, do you think there was like six or seven the other day? Do you think they were all bad?
No. Okay. No, I don't think they were
all bad. Which ones did you like? And I know it's hard to remember them all. But which ones, like, just as if, for instance, he was going to go for a fourth down right at the start of the game before someone jumped off sides. Yeah. That circumstance
was
fourth and one from the Eagles 49.
That was like a fourth and a half yard, though. That was
that
really
was
close.
Not
yeah.
an issue. God, that just, was so problematic because it was, stole moving on the outside or something, wasn't
so,
it?
So, Rhea, which ones did you really not like?
I did not like the call on fourth and inches. That one I didn't like at all.
What if Kellen Moore made the call? He probably made the call. You mean the play?
Yeah, the play.
Yeah, well, that's Kellen Moore, right?
Well, no, I mean the decision not to kick it.
You mean the decision to go for it. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, there was so many. It is a little bit hard.
I know it is.
I'm not terribly upset about taking that point off the board because of the penalty. I was kind of in the moment, like I'm trying to go back in the moment.
Yeah, of course.
But as they began to pile up, I'm like, you're leaving too many points on the field.
So that was one of the things. They piled up. We've seen this. There was a game earlier this year, and this all runs together, but it did remind me of a game earlier this year. I don't know. But there was
Atlanta.
There was one where it's like there had been one, there had been another, there had been another, there had been another.
It was cumulative.
It was.
That's where Sunday got.
No, I know. I know. All right, look, where are you on Sirianni? 215-592-9494. The Sixers thing from last night was a very weird end. We'll play the audio of the Sixers losing at the end and what Paul George said afterwards, which was, frankly, kind of astounding. Plus, Sirianni's locker room speech to the guys after the game. We'll get to that. We'll rock all your calls. And your chance to win boxing tickets. Boots Ennis, Philadelphia champion boxer, who's going to fight this weekend at the Wells Fargo Center. Your chance to win those tickets today. We'll tell you how you can. A lot of people don't have love for Nick Sirianni. A lot of people don't even have like.
That's a very good
right?
segue.
I mean, they really don't.
I don't know.
Well, they like him as a human. They like him as a human, but he irritates people. He does.
We all have friends like that.
We have some. Yeah, we try not to have too many.
No.
You know?
Just one in a crowd.
I do think he, let me say this. I really believe his personality thing dramatically impacts the way people view his coaching thing.
I think it's fair.
And I can see that it should be a part of the storyline of evaluating the coach, but I think people make it too big a part of the storyline. I mean, just as a, for instance, if he just stood there on the sideline like Tom Landry, had his arms folded, and wore a suit, would that implicitly make him a better coach? I don't think so.
I think that austerity
definitely not.
Would, in it's my mind.
How could that possibly make it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would make the impression.
But
that
I'm with you. People, yes. People would look at it and be like, this guy's serious, man.
He's
a football guy.
Right?
Takes it seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine that Sirianni comes out next game. Suit.
Well, was it Mike Nolan? Remember Mike Nolan was last
year?
It didn't work out for him too well.
Hey,
that's great.
Remember Mariucci did.
Mooch.
Did the suit when he first started coaching in college.
I don't remember
I don't remember that either. I remember Mike Nolan. That's the only one I remember.
When he first came back to the Pac-10, Mooch was in a suit on the sideline because I think when it was at Cal coaching against my teams at Stanford in a suit on the sideline. I think for the 100th game, the 100th big game in the history of that contest between those two schools, Mooch was on the sideline in a suit.
Good deal. All right, let's go to the phones. Where you stand on Sirianni? That's our Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us today by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Here's the question. Is Nick Sirianni a good head coach? Yes or no? That's the poll question. On air, you can also answer another question. Is he a bad head coach? I think he's a good coach. I'm not saying he's great. I think he's better than a lot of people think. Phones. By the way, coming up shortly, your chance to win the tickets today to the Boots Ennis fight and the ridiculous scenario involving the end of the Sixers game from last night and what Paul George said about it. We'll get to that shortly. It's not quite for who, for what. But it is an all-time post-game, first-game quote.
Kind of Donovan and Cincinnati-ish.
Yeah, but I mean, this is first game.
Oh, I know. No, I know. I know.
For first game, you got to hear.
Unbelievable.
You got to hear this quote for first game, post-game
quote. My guy's locked in. He's locked in.
All right, let's get to Hansa in North Philadelphia. Hansa, good morning.
Ridiculous.
Hansa.
Yes, sir.
How are you, buddy? You're on the air.
My bad, brother. I'm sorry.
No problem.
How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Doing great, pal.
Listen, man, I agree with you, Joe. Nick Sirianni is a great coach. He's a great coach. It's his first head coaching job. And right, he had some bumps in the road, but at the same time, he's been amazing, dude. Everybody has their ups and downs. But for him to have his first head coaching job as a Philadelphia Eagle with no experience as a head coaching job, took us to the Super Bowl. Look what we're doing this year.
So I think you go a little too far. I'm not quite as
amazing,
jubilant as you are. But and I tell you this, Hansa, I think there's going to be some people dialing right now because they don't like what you just said. But I think he's pretty good. And I have been struck. I mean, look, James laid out earlier his record. I mean, it is pretty amazing when you consider 40-19 in the regular season. When you include the playoffs, 42-22. I mean,
It's an outstanding record, Hanza.
It is for sure, man. If you look at exactly what you said, his record. If you look at his record in the past couple of years versus other head coaching jobs and other head coaches, you could compare him and say he's better than most head coaches in the NFL.
The record
that's a hot take.
The players he had to work with, all right, buddy.
Appreciate
were
the call, man.
So superior.
Some are.
The raw materials that we're talking about, and you're talking about his record, the postseason record is 2-3.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, to be fair, the 21 team just wasn't very good. They were very average. You can't expect them to win that game. So I kind of pushed that aside a bit. Since then.
Yeah, they faced the Super Bowl champ and lost.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough one. Since then, when you've had a realistic chance to win or lose every game, he's gone 2-2. So, you know, for what it's worth. By the way, when you call in today, speaking of champs, and we hope the Eagles someday become the champs again, Boots Ennis, if you don't know, is a champ. He's a champion boxer from the city of Philadelphia in the welterweight division. And he's got a fight coming up on Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. It's pretty cool. I hope people support him. He was in studio with us about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Interesting guy, champion of the world, welterweight. And he fights on Saturday night. Tickets for this fight are available at Wells Fargo Center, Philly. .com.
That's Do you have boxing skills, Joe?
That would be.
Oh yeah, you can imagine Joe just quick hands.
Have you ever boxed in the gym?
Here's what I do.
Have you ever done any?
He's like
of the heavy
Floyd Mayweather out there dodging.
Yeah. Do you want a serious answer?
No. A speed bag.
We know the serious.
It's 11:30 at night. I've struggled to go to sleep. I stand up in my tighty whities. And I start shadow boxing to get myself tired. 33 seconds later, I fall asleep because I'm tired.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm not serious.
No. Come on,
I'm not
John.
Serious about
Did
the
tidy
really whities.
Believe that?
I'm not serious about the 11:30 stand up. And blah, blah, blah. Do I have boxing skills? That would be a negative ghost
rider. Can you imagine Joe just shadow boxing in his house by himself?
Think anybody's ever done that? Shadow box by themselves to fall asleep?
Maybe.
But I would. Here's the thing, man. Forget actually fighting. Just shadow boxing, I get winded after a minute.
Joe, I did boxing as a workout for 2 years.
It's a thing.
Just holding your arms.
It is.
Up
I know.
Is hard.
It's a whole thing,
and then
man.
You try punching.
The footwork.
It's a whole thing. All right. So I really hope people get to see Boots Ennis on Saturday. You can win tickets here today. Here's how. So we love movies. We talk about movies quite a bit on our program. Today we'll ask you this question: movies where something is yelled. That's a pro. Yeah, I gotta yell. Hey! Well, okay. So, yeah, well, that one. Yeah, not so good. So, give us a great line from a movie that was yelled. Like today on Sirianni.
I want the truth.
I want to know where you stand. Now, maybe.
You can't handle the truth.
Or maybe you're right and I'm wrong on Sirianni. I don't know. We'll see over the next couple of games, couple of years. But today, obviously, Jack, Tom Cruise. Couple great examples. There are some legendary movie scenes that involve a yell. What's the most notable yell in a movie, prominent in the movie, big moment? John Ritchie, when you think of a yell in a movie, give me a little taste here. Everyone, 215-592-9494. What's a great answer, John?
Freedom!
Boy. That is big.
Wow.
That's tough, man. All right, we're good.
We got it.
All right. So,
yeah, thank you.
Great answer. Bad at the end with the extended take, but, you know, it's okay. James Seltzer,
we won't be hearing that in Drop of the Week. I will not subject anyone to that
again. No, that was too much. Yeah. But it was pretty good for a while, and then it petered out, which is maybe what Sirianni will be. Maybe he's already petered out. People.
Well, I was dying.
No,
I was pretending
good.
To die.
Could you really yell that much when you have no
air
trails?
Yeah, I was going to say testicular.
Oh.
What's the word here? Remains. I mean, they've been digging into Mel's
All right.
parts.
People are having breakfast.
They are. Sorry. Don't think about that with your Fruit Loops today.
Oh, Jesus.
Do people still eat Fruit Loops?
Yes. I know someone.
They make Fruit Loops in special packets now where Fruit Loops are even bigger.
Oh, boy.
And they're snack-sized Fruit Loops.
Captain Crunch, Lucky Charms.
Classic. All right, Seltzer, give me a notable line that's yelled in a movie.
I'll go with an actual great movie, not an overrated movie like Braveheart.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, I've said this a million times.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, well, you can act like a man. Gun.
Oh, yeah, that is a big one. Godfather. Rhea, give me an answer here. What do you got?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Big answer, too. Big answers are out there. Let us know, 215-592-9494, what a big answer is. We're also going to get to the Paul George and Sixers end of the game coming up shortly. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, Joe. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but Joe DiCamero is actually registering to run to be the 47th president of the United States, but was immediately disqualified when he tried to announce the hammer as his running mate. Like, sorry, sir, you can't be your own running mate.
Yeah, well, you know what the irony to that is, Ed? A lot of people don't know. I believe the number is 37 years in our nation's almost 250-year history. I believe it's 37 years we haven't had a vice president. I think it's that much. Now, we can look that up, but it's a lot of years we haven't had a VP. But anyway, go ahead, Ed.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, so I've always been pro Sirianni, but I'm not comparing him directly to Pete Rose, but only in the sense that sometimes it just, you know, through the years made it really hard to root for the guy because of what he did or what he said. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making it really, really hard for me to root for him right now because, you know, I so much of coaching happens behind closed doors. So, like, we don't know what goes into the game plan,
sure,
how he interacts with staff and players on the practice field to a large extent. So, but dang it, you're making it hard for me, man. Like, that's just kind of where I stand on him.
Because of the antics or because of the in-game decisions?
Both.
Yeah.
If it were just the antics, I'd be like, okay, I like heel Sirianni. This is his edge. I don't like him yelling at the fans, but if that's what he needs to do to get himself up for a game, like, fine. But
that part's not fine. That part will never be fine. And, you know, there was a moment, Ed, he got frustrated. I don't know if anyone else caught this. He got frustrated at a certain moment in the game on Sunday, and it was a frustration, I believe, with the refs, if I remember in this right. And I noticed that he quickly contained his emotions. Quickly.
I think we're seeing that a lot, where he's visibly trying, is like altering what normally would have been his reaction.
Yeah.
He's trying to, like, damper it down.
That's what I think. And I respect that, Ed.
Me too.
It's a good sign. I mean, look, he's far from perfect, and I'm not saying he's a great coach. But, I mean, Ed, as James has pointed out for a long time, he does win in a big clip, man.
Yeah, I mean, we don't say Clayton Kershaw is not one of the best pitchers of all time because he's terrible in the postseason. Like, there's certain things. It's different, obviously, a pitcher versus a coach, but can't argue the winning percentage.
No.
I mean, is it Shane Steichen? Is it you know, look at what Shane.
Well, is it AJ Brown? Doing. You know what I mean? Like, you can make the case it's AJ Brown. You can make the case this year it's Saquon. I mean, look, if they didn't have Saquon, they might have two more losses. I mean, he.
Oh, my God.
Saquon is. Guys. Yeah, both of them.
Those guys can.
You can say that about a lot of players on
a
lot of teams in the NFL. Well, I know Saquon is the best in a particular position, but like, you know, Andy Reid wouldn't have as many wins without Pat Mahomes.
No, there's no question about it. Ed, give me a great answer here. A line yelled in a movie.
Yo, Adrian, I did it.
Yeah, good answer. Not the best delivery. So I need a ruling here, James. Do we want people to go for it?
Oh, yeah.
Today?
Oh, style points.
Oh, yeah.
And then that will impact whether we vote for them?
He did not go for it there.
Yeah, like, it'll impact to a level. Like, I will probably still vote for the best answer regardless, but if answers are close, how you deliver it could put
it
over the top for me.
That delivery there
hurt.
It hurt him a lot.
I think so, too.
You don't have to go all in, but you got to go more in than that.
But do
if
we
it's
want
that material? Like, certain material requires oomph.
So I agree, but I'll say this one caveat. I if you're really going to yell it, I hope it's a short line. That one could have, like, I don't want someone to yell for 35 straight words.
You know what, though? Sometimes,
you know what I mean?
Like, we don't need a full soliloquy.
Correct.
Yeah,
also,
exactly.
Also, people, you need to be aware, sometimes when you yell into a phone, it completely obliterates.
Gets muffled.
What you're saying.
You can't hear what you're saying.
You got to know your phone in this case,
all right,
too.
That might be problematic.
Be a pro, like a pro with a microphone. Know how to, you know, don't step in front of the speaker. That's the thing at events. When you get that feedback.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Don't get that.
That's what that usually
unless
is.
Unless you're Jimi Hendrix and you want the feedback and manipulate the feedback in ways no one's ever heard before.
I like that. Here's what I don't like, but we'll take feedback on the end of the Sixers yesterday. So, if you missed it, and Paul George.
That was the perfect noise.
So, Paul George, I thought, was pretty rusty, especially early. I mean,
which
you
is
know,
to be expected.
No question.
Okay, I get that.
And as Rhea's pointed out in the update.
He's locked in, though, you know?
Yeah. As Rhea pointed out in the update, not great at the end with Maxey not taking a shot
in
the last 5 minutes. And they're going to have to figure that out. You know, you incorporate Paul George. Eventually, they're going to incorporate Joel. There's always a learning curve when you got this star and you got that star and who
Four
gets the
and
ball
a half
at the end.
No, it's
a long
insane.
Time. No, I agree. And Maxey done a lot of good prior to that. All right, let's get to the end of the game and then what Paul George said. So here are the circumstances. And you're going to know why I set this up so directly. The Sixers are down two. Repeat, ladies and gentlemen. The Sixers are down two.
Are you listening, Paul?
Yeah. The Sixers are down two. They're playing the Suns. It's late last night. It's a little bit after midnight. Paul George gets the ball. It's time to start moving. About 10 seconds to go. Here's what happens.
George with eight. PG with six. George to his left, create some space, mid-range, around and off. Martin to Maxey for the win, and it will not go. And the Sixers had two great looks there in the final 6 seconds, Alan, but just couldn't convert.
All right, so the Sixers lose. It's not a dreadful loss. Phoenix, pretty good team. You got, you know, some great players, Booker and Durant and all that.
Yeah, they're like 5-1 or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, Sixers were pretty close, so it's encouraging.
It would have been a great win.
It would have been really good. Yeah,
they are 1-5, though, the Sixers.
Yeah, they're 1-5. I was excited to see Paul George last night. I wasn't that excited, but it was like, all right, here's some life. There's a guy hopefully will be one of the top 10 players in our town. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's, you know, he's Paul George. He's certainly better than Tobias Harris. All right. But you have that. Then you have postgame. Listen to Paul George. This is a doozy. Listen to Paul George describing his mindset as he got ready to rock and roll for that play.
I mean, that was, again, bad evaluation. I thought we were down one. I thought when KD made the layup, that put them up one. Otherwise, go for the three to try to win the game opposed to going for a two to tie the game. So after watching it, another bonehead play. Again, that situation, why not go for the win?
So I find it kind of funny.
Welcome to Philly, big dog.
I find it kind of funny.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, it's not like this is one of those things where you held on to the ball like J.R. Smith all those years ago in game one of the finals because you thought you were up instead of not. Like, it's not unreasonable to take a two-pointer when you're down two.
Sure.
It's not
like Dak running up the middle with 5 seconds 11. Left or whatever.
I mean, you can still win the game the way he approached it. So it's
sure.
not. But just that line. In his first game.
Well, you're pointing this out.
Like, how many were there in the past that we don't know about?
I guess I did it again,
I didn't watch all the Paul George games from the last 15 years. Is this a thing? Bonehead play in game one?
Somebody
Something else you need to make us aware of, Paul. Like, please, fill us in.
You know Bill Simmons, the big-time NBA?
Sure.
He tweeted out something along the lines of, welcome to the Paul George experience.
Ooh, not good.
He has Clippers season tickets too, Bill Simmons, because he lives out there. Yeah. He always talks about it. So he's seen a lot of Paul George last year.
Joe, here's what drove me crazy about that last play. They have 20 seconds left on the clock when he gets it.
Yep.
He dribbles for like 15 of them, waves off Maxey, who I can imagine was not real pleased without getting the ball.
Well, they're going to have to figure that out.
They are.
Before you keep going. So I remember we did a poll when they signed Paul George, who should get the last shot? And people were very split. Yeah. James, maybe you can try to find that poll. But bottom line is, you can make a case for Embiid. You can make a case for George. You can make a case for Maxey. They're going to have to figure it out. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, especially in this game, he was not shooting great. He was 4-for-14, 1-for-7 from beyond the arc. And Maxey was. So, I mean, in that case, you give the ball to Maxey.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me that they went to the veteran because, you know, it's the way it often goes in the NBA. Until you figure it out.
My bigger issue is that he said it. Like, I appreciate being honest, man, but, like, it shows a real lack of just awareness, wisdom, whatever, discernment to steal a Nick Sirianni line to, like, actually say that. Like, keep it to yourself, man. It's crazy. Who says that?
You had 15 seconds.
Am I wrong?
Well,
take a peek at the scoreboard.
I will say this, James, just for what it's worth. Paul George, Indiana. Paul George, Los Angeles. Different media markets,
especially
different
the number
fan
two
bases.
In Los Angeles. He's
Correct.
A Clipper. He won the Laker. It's
Correct.
A very different
Guys,
thing.
Guys, high school basketball is bigger in Indiana than the Pacers.
And the Lakers are so much bigger than the Clippers. Guys, they're not even a relevant thing out there.
The Clippers might be behind UCLA in Los Angeles.
Seriously, right? You're right.
So, like, Paul, I would say start taking notes.
Did he just realize it, like, while he was speaking? So it almost took him by surprise. It is inexplicable that you would just reveal
Is there
that.
A coaching
Incredibly
point with this,
honest,
too?
Though.
Like, I know he should know the score, but is there anything on Nick Nurse for not, like, in the huddle before they go out?
No.
Hey, remember, we're down two. Like, I don't know.
Well,
he took
a timeout. James, they didn't take a timeout.
Oh, they didn't have a timeout. Yeah.
Kevin Durant had just scored. Guys, it's Paul George's job to know the score.
I agree.
I mean, come on.
I agree.
All right, 215-592-9494. But you can react to that. And also, you know, if you saw the game last night, what you made of Paul George's performance.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.